Here it is, right at the top of the hour. Hi, everybody. I am Molly Gordon. This is a Wholeness Hangout. And wow, I have Nicola Bird here today. We have Nicola Bird here today. Nicola is a coach. She's got a deep background in psychology. She's got a lot of formal education in psychology. She's a mom. She's something of a marketing whiz. I mean, she is a marketing whiz. She geeks out on technology, which I kind of like because I geek out on technology too. And she's got credentials up the yin-yang in all kinds of areas. But what really blew my mind about Nicola Bird and why I had to have her here is that she, let me see how to put this into words. What I am really struck by with Nick is how she embodies and integrates an understanding she's gotten into how life works, which we commonly talk about as the three principles in these hangouts, how that has informed the choices she's made in her life, in her business, the way she works with her clients. There is a simplicity, a clarity, and a what Sid Banks would call a beautiful feeling about what you're up to right now, Nick. And I'm sure, as one fellow human being to another, that it doesn't always feel yummy and beautiful. But even with that, there's a way that you talk about it, a way that you've found your way that is so embracing and grounded and clear and beautiful that I just wanted people to experience a little bit of Nick Bird.
Not much to live up to then.
Yeah, not much to live up to. Yeah. The immediate reason that I set this up, because there's so many places we could go, is that Nick and I are both in a three principles practitioner professional development program facilitated by Dr. Aaron Turner of One Thought in the UK. Nick does this live. I do it virtually, so I get to watch videos of the live days and see Nick in all her glory, and then have webinars with Aaron. And I've seen Nicola talk about her work, and I've seen her evolve as a practitioner over the months. But she also volunteered to do a webinar, a peer webinar for us on Facebook marketing. And as I was telling her before we started today, I watched that kind of thinking, okay, I'll see what she's got. I wasn't expecting a lot. And what I got was a huge amount. I not only got some insights into Facebook marketing, but the big takeaway for me was how Nicola articulated, see if I can do this. The value of doing work that is grounded in what you actually know and what you actually care about, and then using whatever means of communication, connection, interaction work for you. So Nick geeks out and loves Facebook. Facebook marketing works for her. For you, it might be hanging out at the coffee shop or speaking to your local church group or any number of other things. But using the natural inspiration and grounding and meaning that arises in you, and then taking action in the world through the channels that make sense to you, and bring them together, and it's kind of magical. Does any of that bear any resemblance into what you think you've actually done, Nick?
I think so, yeah. I think the biggest change and transformation for me in terms of growing my practice, growing my business, that's kind of what we're interested in talking
about.
Yeah,
I think.
So I've always been a really high achiever. And I've always wanted to be top of the class. And I've always wanted to go kind of like, look at me, look what I did, right? Like a real needed lots of recognition, right, to soothe my ego. And I didn't see it as that at the time. All I saw was that I just had this inner burning desire to always be top of the class. So I'd invest at the top with the top mentors. I'd work my ass off to get my, university degree. You know, I was the only person who kind of like got a first class degree while working nights to earn money at the same time, and went on to do a master's degree and got some really good grade in that. And then, you know, I'd start my career and I'd always want to get to the manager level and the next level and the next level. And because I was a real active go-getter, like I got loads of recognition for that. So I did more of it, and then I went faster, and then I got more recognition for that, and I went faster and I achieved these huge, great big results, and it was all very exciting, and it was all going like this and this and this and this and this, and then it just went, and there was like crash, burn, massive, messy burnout. It was, from where I'm sitting now, what I see is working really hard and pushing and driving and striving can get you places, but what I see is that it's not sustainable. It's not graceful. It's not elegant. And I was pretty horrible. I was a pretty horrible person while I was acting from that space. So I would be really abrupt with my clients. I would have these really high expectations. If my staff members couldn't go as fast as me, I would sack them. Not, I wasn't quite as evil as I'm making out, but
oh darn!
I was just really. I just had no patience, Molly. I was really intolerant. I expected everyone else to work at the speed that I did. And I really, I used to really look down on people who said they wanted to grow their business, and yet I'd give them the 5 steps of instructions and they wouldn't just go out there and do it. So what did they expect, right? Like, basically, I was a real bitch. And through all of that time, I had experienced panic and anxiety and just feeling really insecure a lot of the time, which probably what drove that behavior. But I really had the belief that all of the results I got would be A, down to me and my efforts, and B, because I was quick and fast and speedy. And what I grew to see when I hit this huge number in my business, and when I got there, it was like there was nothing there. So I created a business called Jigsaw Box, and I grew that from $0 to $1 million in revenue in just under 4 years by working really hard and striving and blah, blah, blah. And when I got to that number, it's kind of what I thought I'd wanted to get to for those 4 years. That's what I was aiming for. And Molly, I have no idea what I thought was going to be there when I got there, but there was. It was just like, it was like radio silence when I got there. There was just nothing. It was really flat. And it did completely shock me. And so I started to search around, having no understanding of the principles. At that point, I started to search around, thinking, oh, it must be the job that I'm doing. It must be the business I'm running. And if I could only find something to do, then I'd be happy. Obviously, it wasn't the money. It must be what I'm doing that makes you happy. So I'll go on the search for something else to do. Stumbled across Jamie Smart's book, Clarity. Realized he had been an apprentice of Michael Neal's. Went and checked out Michael Neal. Signed up on a program with George Kransky. And that was the beginning of my journey back in 2013. And then for me, what happened is there was a period of, well, first of all, I just couldn't go back to doing what I was doing before. Because in my software business, what I was doing is I was providing a platform for coaches to reach more clients. But what I started to see was that most of what they were teaching wasn't particularly helpful in my eyes, with my new eyes. And I just, with all integrity, I didn't want to help people put stuff that didn't work in front of people. So it really, really kiboshed my current business, this understanding of the principles. I was not happy with Michael Neal and George for a long time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I ended up selling that business. But I ended up, because I had all this knowledge and experience of marketing, I ended up trying to teach the principles to business owners because I could see the benefit. I thought I could see the benefit of the principles to business owners. Like I got intellectually, like a clearer mind, a less speedy approach, more grace, more simplicity. Like that's got to be a good thing for business. But what was happening, Molly, is I was teaching that to business owners, and at the same time, my own income was going like this. Right? So I was completely, I felt completely out of integrity because I was trying to teach this is really good for your business. But my own experience kind of behind the scenes was that actually stumbling across the principles was the worst thing that could ever happen to your business, right? And then funnily enough, like I found it really hard to get clients, right? Because it was just like behind the scenes, I was off my grounding,
yep.
Right? So I was trying to teach, look, the principles are great for business, but that wasn't what I was seeing at all. Like I got intellectually as a good idea it was, and so for 3 years I really struggled to teach the principles to business owners because that was the list of clients that I already had on my mailing list. Bless you. But not only did all those clients want to know the how-to 7 steps to grow their business, that's originally how they'd got to know me because I used to teach the 7 steps for how to grow your business. So they all just wanted to buy that anyway from me. And when they came to me, all I wanted to teach was the principles. And yet I knew secretly that if I'd had £1,000 to spend, I would have spent it on a marketing mentor and not on work, not with more principal stuff. So it was just a mishmash. I mean, that is teaching off your grounding, right? That's not teaching from what you know.
I'm only laughing because I've been there.
Yeah, I know. And you just have to go through a messy period, right? Of figuring out what it is that you actually know, not what you think is a good idea.
Yeah.
And then I was on a Creating the Impossible call with Michael Neal that I just happened to go to by chance because one of my colleagues was running the call. And on February the 19th this year, which is, I don't know, I just remember it, one of those days. And there was someone on the call who was saying, I really want to create this amazing thing, but I can't because I have anxiety, so it's impossible for me. Right? And I reached out to her and I thought, I could help you with that. Because what happened as a nice, you know, it wasn't something that I was looking for when I hired Michael Neal. I was looking for him, like, how do I grow my business more? Right? That was all I was interested in. But what happened to me as I was working with Michael, I apprenticed with him for a year, that my anxiety had completely dissolved. But that wasn't really what, I wasn't really paying attention to that. I mean, I had an appreciation for it, but I wasn't really paying attention to it because I was all about, you know, how do I get more clients? How do I bring more clients in? Like I still had that kind of lack of grounding in business and around money and that kind of thing. But the anxiety had completely vanished. And when this woman said that, I just knew, I just heard, like, you know, like heard a voice in my head, just like, oh, I could help you with that. And I reached out to her and said, oh, I could help you with that. And she went, oh, yeah, that would be nice. And then I thought, no, I actually could do something to help with that. So that afternoon, I just posted on my Facebook and said, if I ran a pilot program to help people with anxiety, would you be interested? And I just thought, oh, I'll open up to 10 people and the slots filled with minutes with people saying yes and jumping on board. And I was like, oh, well, if I'm going to be running a program anyway, I might as well open it up to a few more people. And I ended up very quickly within a week with like 100 people signed up to do this pilot program with me, which I hadn't created and I hadn't built and I hadn't done anything. All I knew was that I could help. And so every week they would show up expecting a video from me. So I created a video each week about what I'd seen about the principles. And every week we'd have a Q&A call and they would basically tell me what they needed creating for the next week by their questions. And so I built it as I went, which is something I've taught for years, but you know, that's kind of what I did back in February. And I kind of did it just as a fun side project. And what I saw was that there was an energy behind this project. It just kind of took on a life of its own really quickly. And I kind of did it because I wanted to see, I wonder if what helped me would help these other people. And I'm not sure that it will because it just feels too magical to me. I wasn't even looking at anxiety. I didn't even look at the principles to try and apply them to my anxiety. Like maybe I was just got really lucky. And so I started running the program, but what I realized like 3-4 weeks in was that people were getting shifts and changes in a way they never had in my business programs. And I opened up a paid version of the program within 4 weeks of 3 or 4 weeks of running the pilot. And it's just been going gangbusters since then. I've got so many people signing up and so many people coming on board. And I've explained this to you, Molly, but I think just to share with other people on the call, the thing that happened in February, two things happened. Well, one thing happened, which is I started sharing from my grounding, sharing from what I really knew, sharing from what had actually made a difference for me. And when I was teaching those people about anxiety, I didn't have any tools, strategies, techniques, or anything. Like, I knew that the principles and what had made the change for me, 100%, no shadow of a doubt, there was nothing else I could bring into that conversation that would be in any way totally helpful. Nothing. Whereas in the business arena, I knew a lot about marketing that I thought could actually be really helpful to people. And people knew I knew a lot about marketing, so that's really what they wanted. Whereas here, I've got nothing else. I can't give my clients anything else but the principles, because that's all I can see that's of value. So that happened, which is teaching from your grounding. And the second thing was that I had a realization around that period. And I started living my life as if I knew nothing about the three principles. And that might sound weird, but up until that point, I had my own natural inclinations. And then I kind of kept trying to principalize myself. So it was like, I'd have a desire to like grow my business and reach loads of people. And then I'd think, no, but if you really were grounded in the principles, you'd be more chilled and happier, more content with your life as it is right now. And then I think, I should be, like my natural inclination is to work 24/7, right? I'm a complete workaholic. But I would think, oh no, you must be more relaxed and chilled and have loads more free time. And like, if you understood the principles properly, you'd be way more chilled out and relaxed about this, right? And then I think my natural inclination is to work fast. And I think, oh no, if I knew the principles more deeply, I would slow myself down because I see the value in that. And I don't know what happened, but at some point in February, I was like, do you know what? I can't swear on this, but I'd be like, it. Like, yep. I'm just like, what if I knew nothing about the principles? How would I really grow my business? How would I really parent my kids? How would I really show up in life? And I put what I thought I should be doing to one side, and I just started to live my life in a way that made sense to me. And it just so happens that that is my grounding.
I love it. You know, I'm thinking, how would it be to be a gymnast or a tumbler who took an advanced physics course and then went to prepare for a competition and thought, oh God, now that I understand about gravity and momentum and force, how do I do this?
That's so true. But honestly, it's taken me 3-4 years in the principles to see that.
Oh, yeah.
That you can't outrun your grounding. Like, all you can do is show up. And it was like, to me, it was like the 3P police dissolved into a pile of goo and no longer had any hold over me. And it was so freeing. And it was like, well, I know what to do to grow a business. I know the strategies. I know the tools. I know that I work quite fast. Do you know what? If the plan was for me to be any other different way, if the intelligence that runs the whole universe wanted me to be slow and quiet and not be interested in Facebook marketing, why would I be so inspired in that direction?
Yeah.
It was like, we think, I don't know, I had an idea of how I think mind would show up, like what intelligence looks like. It's like, I've been given all these amazing gifts. And then to sit here and sit on my hands and not use them just seems rude and ungrateful. And the other big difference that I have seen, this is the biggest thing probably, is that it's not me doing any of it. It's like I literally feel like I show up to the Q&A calls with my clients and I sit down in front of the computer and I go and have a cup of tea in the other room, really. And then my body sits there and mind just pours through and answers the questions to my clients while I'm off having a break.
Mm-hmm.
And mine does all the heavy lifting. Like, I'm really experiencing that with my clients at the moment and with growing my business. It's like, I've got no idea where it's going next. It's getting bigger, definitely. But I don't, I'm trying new experiments every single week with, like, see, like, if I create the program this way, does it help people better? If I price it like this, can more people access it? If I do it like this, can I be in three places at once? If I hire a team, what does that free me up to do? Like, every single week, there's like two or three things that I'm just trying and experimenting and playing with. But they're all ideas I didn't have 7 days ago, right?
Yeah.
And so that's huge, to go from thinking it was all on me, that I was the one that was responsible for the success, to feeling more like God doesn't have fingers. That's the only reason he needs me, to type on the keyboard for him, right? Like, that's it, right? That mind is there doing everything, like putting me in front of my computer when I need to be, making me go home when I don't need to be, finding me this office space, finding me an amazing virtual assistant, finding me clients, putting my Facebook ads in front of the right people at the right time. Like, there's so much less of me in this, and as a result, it's so much more effortless, it's more graceful. It's, I don't, when I put something out there and it flops completely, doesn't bother me. I don't take it as a personal insult. And there's a resilience there of just getting up and trying, and getting up and trying, and getting up and trying, and continually experimenting. And when I experiment, I can see what works and what doesn't work, and what people like and what they don't like, and all of that. There's just a fluidity and a flow to being in business now.
Yep.
And it's being reflected in the numbers.
Yep. What? It's so funny, Nick, because I've had a parallel experience. Parallel, but different in some ways. And last month I had a wholeness hangout with Mary Schiller, and we talked about money and how each of us is doing money in our businesses completely differently from the same foundation.
Yeah, I really want to go and watch that one, actually.
Yeah,
really,
it was curious. Very fun, because she's about price like a girl, earn more, raise your prices, get them up there. And I'm like, oh, it's a gift.
Yeah.
And when I got into the principles, I thought, oh, this will be the key to me finally making the big bucks.
Yeah.
I'd made good money for a long time, really good money. But I thought, you know, I should be playing bigger. I interpreted, like, Michael Neal has his lovely TEDx talk, "Why Aren't You Awesomer?" I thought awesomer looked a certain way.
Yeah.
And my business went the other way.
Yeah.
And then I started to wake up to what I hear you waking up to, is like, what is Molly designed to do? It's like, I often look to the natural world. It's like, my apple tree is not trying to be a pear tree.
Yeah.
And it took me years, I'm a slow learner, to get underneath all of my thinking about what I ought to be designed to do.
Yeah.
And what a person with my talents and skills and blah, 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 blah should do.
Yeah.
And my insights, my precious insights, to finally just doing what I felt like doing.
Yeah.
And some weeks, like the last couple of months, I'm working 10 and 12 hour days. Some weeks I'm working 3 hour days.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore. I don't have a plan in advance. And I can tell by the feeling that I'm being the apple tree I am.
Yeah.
And when you talk about coming from your grounding, that's, I think there's both our grounding in terms of our understanding, what we have to share with the world, and our grounding in terms of being the plant or the critter that we are.
Yeah.
You know, blooming where you're planted kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. Because I know, because it feels to me like the way my tree is, you know, my business tree, if you like, was kind of blooming before, and then it went into a period of kind of you know, autumn, winter, right? Like recouping, regathering, just going there to start again.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming out here and then having this really blooming, flourishing tree that's going on right now, probably more than I, like going faster than I would actually probably like it at the moment. It's like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know how many clients a week I can handle, but there's like, do you know what I mean? And sometimes that feels completely overwhelming. And sometimes it feels like, no, I want to bring this to more, but it feels like the tree is flourishing even faster than I can keep up, right? At the moment. But it's what strikes me in what you just said though, is that a lot of people, and I do this to people as well, that I admire and respect in business. It's like a lot of people would look to it and say, but I want that to be my tree. Like I want to flourish and grow in that way. And I really get that because I see people who have a wonderful parenting tree, right? Mm. And I would love to be more like that. Like I would love to be just love and enjoy and thrive around my kids as much as I see some people. And I don't, right, at the moment anyway. And I used to give myself a really hard time about that. I'd be like, well, how can I grow branches like their trees? And like, what do they do that makes the difference with their kids? Like, how are they setting their lives up? How are they, what's their discipline? What are their strategies? What are their techniques? What do they do every week with their kids that's making the difference? And what I see is that they are like that around I am like business. So I can come into the sit in here and I could have 21,000 ideas about how to bring new clients into my business. You can sit me at home with my kids and can I think of anything to do on a long summer holiday day? It's like, oh, nothing there, right? It's like at the moment my branches are all blooming this way and not so much this way. And as much as I would love them to grow that way, so I know what it feels like to be in a position where, well, it just feels like my branches should grow that way as well, but they're not. But I've kind of come a lot more to peace with that because I trust that there's an intelligence. And if my branches were supposed to be blooming over this way, they would. And they will and they might and all the rest of it, but it's not on me to provide that inspiration. I can't drum it up if it's not there.
Right.
And that's kind of what I see. So I'm far, far more gentle with myself in the areas that don't come as easily to me. And I just kind of make my way clumsily and I don't get the results of such a thing with your kids, but I know there's more potential there than I'm realizing at the moment.
Yeah. Well, what's coming up to me is the way you're talking about that is not, okay, I've decided I'm this kind of tree. And no. I don't have to care about those branches, but it's a lighter relationship. But the metaphor that's coming up for me, it's like if I'm hearing a knocking, I need to get quieter to find out if the knocking is coming from the hawthorn tree branches brushing against the awning of my office, or a cat trying to get in the sliding door upstairs, or someone at the front door, or a chair that blew over on the deck. I need to get quieter. I can't get busy figuring out what the knocking is. So there are times, it seems to me, when, like lately I've been thinking, I really want to get fitter. And so I just have an open mind about how that might want to show up. And I'm willing to show up and respond, and I'm willing to put some effort into it. But I'm not going to take charge
I love that. And that was really, you know, I'm starting to see this a lot around life now. Like it's the same with kind of wanting to get fit. I used to, well, what am I now? 45. So probably 42 years of beating myself up about not doing enough exercise because I'm naturally quite lazy. And then last year or 2 years ago, I discovered like a local dance class, right? So we all get all dressed up in our tracksuits and we go and like do this dance to like, I don't know, Justin Bieber and stuff like that, right? Such good fun. And it was like, I couldn't not go. It wasn't any way I'd thought to get fit, but I couldn't not go. And then last September, just gone the September before, I just, my kids' schools changed and my schedule changed and I just couldn't make it. And I just, and I didn't mind not going, and it just kind of fell off my radar.
Yeah.
And ordinarily I would have given myself a hard time about that. And come on, you need to find something else. You need to do something else. And you know, I just haven't thought about fitness for a whole year. And that's such a relief, Molly. I can't tell you, because the amount of times I beat myself up over it.
Yeah.
Because I trust that if I need to, I'll get inspired. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Some local mums have set up a back to netball group, which none of us have played netball for like 25 years. And we're all running, huffing and puffing around the court together on a Wednesday night. And I'm making new friends and I'm getting fitter. And I'm back at dance class again.
Yep.
And I'm going to yoga again. And none of it was an effort. And none of it did I have to come up with the inspiration. It just happened at a time. It was an idea whose time has come, right? It just mm-hmm. happened at a time where that's, it's meant to be. So what I see is there's areas in my life that I probably would, you know, if I could wave a magic wand, I would want to be different. But I'm so not fussed about it now. Like I'm mm-hmm. not into... You know, before in the old days, I'd get my wheel of life out and I'd mark myself 1 to 10 on every area, and then I'd set my goals, and then I would go and I would exceed every one of them. Just
yes,
watch, right, in a feisty way. And now, I just am appreciating whatever's right in front of me that inspires me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, if my business inspires me today, I'll go play with my business, and if my kids inspire me one day, I'll go play with them. And if my netball inspires me one day, I'll just go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if cooking doesn't, and eating healthily doesn't, and what else is on my not very, like keeping the house tidy is not up there at the moment, then so be it. I'm not going to give it a second thought.
Yeah.
So I'd rather play full out in the areas where I'm completely inspired, and know that the rest will come if it's meant to.
Mm-hmm. I want to invite people to ask questions, share observations, make comments. You can do it in the chat box. You can raise your hand in the participant panel or like this, or you can just speak up. We're a small enough group. And I should acknowledge to folks, I think you all know this, but I do record these and they will be available for replay. So don't say anything you don't want your grandmother to hear. Being a grandmother, you can pretty much say anything you want, but
yeah, I mean, I'd love to see if there's any questions from anyone.
Yeah. I, again, as with Mary, I'm just kind of tickled by our parallel journeys, how differently we're expressing them, and yet how similar the feeling of being in your grounding and following inclinations and trying things without attachment to results. I think that's another piece that I really picked up listening to you, Nicola, is how very engaged and active you are in your business and in the things that interest you, and how relatively unattached you are to how they work out in the short term. In fact, you told a story about, I think you and John El Makadam decided to do a retreat.
Oh, yeah. So, we'd been doing, bringing loads of clients in, and everyone was just having a great time. And then we decided we were going to put together a retreat with John and I, because we just worked really well together and we knew we could deliver a beautiful retreat. And we knew that it would really serve the people in the group. And we put it out there, and people were initially very keen and interested. And then the interest just kind of petered out, and nobody actually took action to come on board. I was like, okay, well, not now then. Next. It's like, just want to see what the next idea is, because that's what I'm seeing, is there literally are an infinite number of ideas
mm-hmm.
for what to do next, and how to bring the next client in, and how to reach out to the next person, and how to make an impact in a different way, and how to recreate what you're doing. Like, that, you know, if I think back in my business, the kind of the form of programs that I've offered, you know, I've done boot camps, I've done one-to-one coaching, I've done intensives, I've done retreats, I've done and like audio programs, I've done video programs, I've done live events, I've done one-off calls, I've done one-off coaching, I've done like any kind of, like, I've played with all the different formats. because I want to see what works for me. And I get Aaron Turner envy when I see him coach, and I'm like, I want to do more intensives. I would really love to do more intensives. And I have done them, and I've loved them when I've done them. But all my experience and know-how and everything that's come in my life just lends itself so well to actually reaching a very large volume of clients who all pay relatively a small amount, rather than a small number of high-paying clients. That just seems to be what I excel at, or what my life is. You know, if you joined all the dots together, that seems to be the natural way that it points. Now, it's to say that that isn't going to change in the future. But I think I fall in love with the form over and over again. And what one of the insights I had last year, because I was trying out in my search for what do I do, because what you do is what makes you happy, with that misunderstanding, I went through a period of, not this year, probably not last year, but the year before that, of launching a new business pretty much every week. So I would launch a cupcake business, and I would sign up for yoga teacher training, and then I would make another baking website, and then I would create a food blog, and I'd sign up on a food training course, and then I would sign up to be a Cordon Bleu chef, and then I would sign up, and then I became a website designer, and then I became, I was doing more coaching, and then I was doing jigsaw box consultancy, and then I was doing business mentoring, and literally every week for about a year, I had a new website, new idea, new business. And it's, I can't remember the point of what I was going to say now, but it's just seeing that flow of creativity and exploration and all the rest of it. It's like, if you don't try stuff, how will you ever know? But luckily for me, like, trying stuff comes easy. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think you've got anything to lose. Like, everything's recoverable. Everything's redeemable. Everything's sort outable. I mean, how badly wrong can it go? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm left asking. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and how do we know what could come out of any disaster, you know?
You know what happened, right? So I spent a year creating, you know, building, launching literally a new website every week. And then I came to the end of the year and I was like, oh, I'm really good at building websites now. Perhaps I should do that for other people. And so I did that for like 3 months of just building like gorgeous websites for Three Principles people. And doing them in a day, because it was just really easy for me to do because I work fast. And I came up with a great offer for people to do that. And I did that. And that got me the funds I needed to go spend 4 days with my business mentor, with this idea brewing for that anxiety stuff. Like, I'd started doing a pilot. And that gave me the funds to get to her. And then when I got to her, I got so clear that that's what I wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
Website stuff just fell away. It served its purpose and off it went.
It all
serves its purpose. Like, we don't know why I'm drawn to launch 43 websites in a year, and then it turns out, oh, maybe it's so I could create a website business. And I don't know why I'm inspired to create a website business. Then, oh, it turns out that brought me just the funding that I needed to invest with my mentor.
There you go.
I don't know why I'm drawn now to work with people with anxiety, because I could have done this work years ago, but I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a lot of thinking about what it meant to work with people with anxiety, and I didn't want to go there. But interestingly, one of the things that happened, I noticed when I was building websites for Three Principles practitioners, this is interesting, nearly every single person that I spoke to had had a core area of their life transformed by the principles, like their parenting, or like their relationship with their brother, or like with cancer, or like with MS, or like with divorce, or bereavement, or depression, or whatever. And it was the one area they did not want to go near. Really interesting, fascinating.
Like, how interesting.
I don't want to work with people with cancer all day, right? I don't want to work with like people who've got parenting problems all day. Like, that was my nightmare. And I, for years, was like, I don't want to work with anxious people. Like, I'm through it. I don't want to spend time thinking with anxiety. And what if it comes back? And all this kind of stuff, right? Like, it was the one area that if I could have picked anywhere, that isn't where I'd have wanted to go. So that really fascinated me.
Well, you know, it's true for me. One of the core, I mean, so many things shifted for me with the principles.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I regarded as a rock in my shoe for years was that the principles really illuminated for me both what was right and what was missing in coaching. And I thought that I should just walk away from coaching. I was trained in the ICF tradition of coaching and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm credentialed in that tradition. And I thought, I just need to walk away from that. But I kept teaching for an ICF certified program or accredited program. And I kept finding value there. And I kept thinking, God, that's embarrassing. I shouldn't. And I kept caring about it. And like I said, I thought it was a rock in my shoe. And now, 5 years later, I'm going, that is the grit in my oyster. It doesn't matter whether it's politically correct in the principles to be interested in conventional coaching. Yeah. I'm really interested in that coaching world.
Me too, with the business and mentoring. So now I've taken on, so now I do have a very, like I have four clients at the moment who I'm doing business mentoring with, who I'll only take on clients who are teaching the principles. Like, I'm really clear about that. And I'm not teaching anything to do with the principles. Obviously, it kind of comes through in what we speak about. But we are spending our time together each week creating strategies and creating webinars and writing emails and sales pages and, you know, copy together and coming up with strategies for how to fill programs. And that totally, it's like my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
So like, there's nothing I'd like more than to help someone come up with a strategy, 3 month strategy to like pilot a program and fill it and get paying clients. Like,
right.
Brilliant. Bring it on. Like, we had so much fun together on the VIP days that I ran with them and got so much out of that. And you know, it may be that I end up going back there at some point, but it's you know, I love it. I get such enjoyment from it and I see the value in it.
Yeah. And I find myself with opportunities to introduce the principles to the coaching community and say, hey guys, this is what we've always been up to that we kind of sort of knew but didn't really get.
Yeah.
And it's thrilling to see how those doors are opening.
Well, and they wouldn't have done, Molly, if you hadn't followed your guilty pleasure, which is back to the ICF stuff. It's like, that's how, like, people wouldn't have got introduced to the principles unless you had gone that way, unless you've been inspired that way. That's why I keep seeing is that we're inspired for reasons that we just don't know why.
Exactly.
So like now I'm on the one hand, now I'm sharing my anxiety stuff and I'm bringing that to people who've never heard of the principles before. So since February, I was looking this morning because I got an email getting told off by my email, where I keep all my emails, that I'd gone over my limit. So I'm 15,000 people since February that now have heard of the principles that I never had before because of the work that I'm doing since February. And that's like, and I had like my personal little thinking about why anxiety wasn't a good idea and why that wasn't the direction I wanted to go in, and like, seems so insignificant and stupid compared to the impact that has made. And then on the other hand, like, indulging in my guilty pleasure, which obviously implies that there were some three people who's working there, but like doing my marketing mentoring, that at the moment I'm drawn to work with people who are teaching and sharing the principles, but that's reaching more and more people through the impact of doing that work that wouldn't be otherwise. And I just think we have no idea. That's one of my biggest learnings through the principles. It's like, we have no idea why we're handed the inspiration that we are. But if we follow it, other cool stuff just happens.
Yeah. And I have to say, I've been listening to, I listened to your introductory audio, the magic audio that gets people interested, that you share with people who are interested in your anxiety program. And it was so touching. And I went on to listen to your podcasts. I've listened to several. And I am really struck by how well you teach the principles and how well you answer questions and how well you respond to your clients. And what I'm pointing to is both, you know, I think you're very good at this, but it's also clear to me as an observer that you're tapping into an intelligence that's bigger at you than you, and that somehow you've gotten into that groove, which we're calling grounding, where something remarkable comes through.
Yeah. And you know what's really cool about it? I was creating the podcast for this week, and I was smiling to myself, because what I was looking at in my calendar, I was realizing that every single week there's a new person booking into my diary for me to do a podcast interview with. Like, I'm not, some people I'm reaching out to, but it's more that people just come across my path that week and I'm like, hey, you want to do a podcast episode? And I've got person after person, just one person every week, which is all I somehow miraculously need. Mm-hmm. But then I just get them, they show up and they've just got these most amazing stories. Like Pete, who's listening now, he was one of my podcast guests.
Yes.
We didn't engineer that. It just kind of happened, and it was great to do that. And you know, this week I had a lady called Rebecca reach out to me and say, oh, you should interview my son for the podcast. And I'm like, okay, really? Why? Well, I just listened to the podcast. I think he'd be great. I'm like, okay. And I spoke to him yesterday, and he's this 19-year-old guy who's just got the most amazing wisdom and grounding, and it's totally changed his life. And I'm like, wow, what if more people knew about this? Like, what if more young people knew about this? And we just had a hilarious conversation, but also really profound with the things that he saw. Now, I didn't engineer that, design it or anything, but like, we just showed up and there's a conversation that happens and it's helpful to people.
Yeah.
But it's in the old days, Molly, I'd have sat down, I'd have sent him 15 questions, I'd have asked for his answers before, I'd have checked them all through to check they corresponded. I'd have made sure that they all led to a conclusion that I'd already decided. And whereas they're more like this, where we just show up and go, okay, we've no idea what's going to get created in the next hour together, but it's going to be fun to find out.
Yeah, today, Nicola and I have never actually spoken one-on-one before. Usually I at least have a 10-minute call a conversation.
Actually, you've seen me on the videos and I've seen you on the videos.
That's true.
So we've seen each other, but we have, that's true. You know, I hadn't even realized that we've never even spoken. Because you just fall into a connection so much more easily when you understand the principles, right?
Yeah. And it seems important right now to just shine a light on something that Nick has said several times through this, but that might get lost. There's such a, in retrospect, such a beautiful flow and inevitability and perfection about how Nicola's business and work has unfolded. And all of that.
Perfection is a hell of a messy behind
exactly
the scenes.
I want to point to the mess and say, you know, on the way there it doesn't look like that, so whatever you're experiencing is just fine.
I'll tell you all my messes. I've had like people who berate me on social media and say I'm awful because I charge for my services. I'm a horrible person, and I get that all the time, and sometimes that really gets me down and sometimes it's fine. I get emails haranguing me. I get emails where people have joined my webinar, but they haven't used the free link, so they've had a phone charge, and that cost me $30, you, right? And just emailing me like nasty emails. I've had programs I've created that people haven't liked. I've created programs at price points people have been horrified by. I have hired a community manager this week, and to much outrage, as Pete knows, in the Facebook group, I can't believe you're not going to be here all day, every day, looking after us. It's like, I can't do everything. You know, you try and do the right thing, and it always lands wrong with some people. And it's like, I'm trying my best. I'm just trying my best all the time. Like, in all honesty, I'm not trying to manipulate anyone. I'm not trying to take money off people that can't afford it. I'm just trying to offer what I can in a way that means I can continue to do it.
Yeah.
And it's messy. It's like my inbox is rammed and overflowing. There's papers all over the floor in my office at home. There's like unanswered emails. There's comments and Facebook posts I should be looking after. Like it's an absolute like mess behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I just keep showing up every day and making it up and doing the best I can. And my clients seem to be getting the results, right? And
absolutely,
that's the only way I know I'm heading in the right direction, because I could be making piles of money and my clients going, oh, that was nice, thanks, Nick, and off you go.
Yeah.
Right? But they're not. The clients are posting just amazing stories that I have a good cry at least once a day through. And it's like, how lucky do I get to be that I get to witness this, be part of this journey? It's like, I just feel like I'm on the coolest ride going at the moment.
Yeah.
And my clients, I don't care if it's a bit messy, and I don't care if some days I don't even brush my teeth because I'm working so hard. And, you know, it's really good fun.
Yeah. Another piece I just feel like I want to highlight for both people here and people listening is that when I followed some of your marketing trail because I wanted to see what you did and how it landed. And I have a pretty decent background in marketing myself. So I have a feel for the seven steps and the systems and what you, how to do a call to action and blah, 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 blah. And what struck me was how utterly authentic, natural, non-manipulative, non-triggery. I don't mean trigger like stress
even.
Trigger, but you know, you weren't pulling the trigger on people. It didn't feel like a managed, although I know there's intentionality and skill. I saw that in the process. It felt very real.
Well, you know, the real bit of it, Molly, is like I'm using the same strategies that I would have used way back when, in terms of sending this many emails out before a webinar, having this kind of structure to a webinar, sending this many emails after a webinar, having the you know, the doors closed and the registration start so that people got a reason to sign up. I'm doing all of the same things, but the thing that's really different is that I pretty much bare my soul through the whole thing. So I share my journey and I share what made a difference to me. And without covering any, like in a really naked way, that doesn't cover any of it up. And people, the response I get from people is just, it's like you're in my head. You know, you get me. You get how much I'm struggling with this. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I remember what it was like.
Yeah.
And people, it's so rare that they hear someone who, in with my client group, people who hear someone who shares the experience in exactly the way that they're, even though it's not exactly ever exactly the same, but they hear that. Like, I don't hold anything back in that. I don't get embarrassed and think, oh, I shouldn't share that in private. You know, that should just be private for me. That's right. You asked me to explain about how bad I am at a parent. I probably might be a bit more quiet about that. but with this, it's like I don't have any shame around it now. I don't have any embarrassment around it. I used to have a little secrecy around it. But now it's like I just figure when I share, people feel a connection to it. And that's what they're buying rather than because the cart closed tomorrow. They're buying hope.
Yes.
They buy hope. That's what they buy, Molly. It's like they see that it's possible for me. They see that it's possible for Pete. They see that it's possible for the people who share their stories and their testimonials. And they're like, she was right where I am now. And she thought it was never possible. And I think it's never possible. But I suddenly have hope. And there's something, you know, they got what I got when I first heard this. Like, there's something here. I don't know what it is. And they think it's me. They think it's me. They think it's coming from me. And then that's, which is why I get outraged in the Facebook group if I say that I can't be in there all the time.
Yeah.
And my job through the program that I run is to show them that it never was me.
Right.
But that's why people buy your programs. That's why they buy your, they want to work with you, is because they hear something resonates with them. And it's like, to me, what I see that as is that's the spark of wisdom waking up in them. And then they think that it's coming from you.
Right. So Gil has a question, or Jill. I'm sorry, Jill.
Around the embarrassment. I used to have really bad panic attacks, anxiety, agoraphobia, claustrophobia, and I wouldn't tell anyone that I had it. So I would lie. I would make excuses about why I didn't want to go out, like why I couldn't go to this concert, why I couldn't pick my kids up from school, why I couldn't. I just, and you know what? Even like my mum heard the audio for the first time this year. And she said, I can't believe you never told me that any of that was going on. I was like, I couldn't. That's part of it, is that when you're out of it, you can speak about it. And when you're in the middle of it, it's just, you just try and put on a brave face as much as you possibly can and keep it a secret from the world, because it's just like, because otherwise you just crumple in the corner and the men in the white coats will come and take you away. It's your only thing that's kind of holding you together, is the public face that kind of you're coping and everything's all right. And so many people are living with that. They're living with the fear that someone's going to find out. They're living with the fear that if they admit to someone, like if they talk to someone about just how bad it is, all the brittle barriers are going to fall away and there will just be a blubbering mess of jelly in the corner. And so when they hear my story, they and when they join our Facebook groups, our Facebook group is so lovely. They come in and so often they say, I can't believe that you're all here. They can feel like there's all these people here and they're like me and I never knew it. So there's a wonderful sense of connection in that group and so much love in that group, because people don't have to hide it anymore.
Right. So Nick, for people who might be watching this, who either themselves are dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, or who know people who are, how would they learn more about that work?
So my website is alittlepeaceofmind.co.uk. So that's P-E-A-C-E of mind. So alittlepeaceofmind.co.uk. And that's where that audio is. And that's where people can contact me and get in touch with me through that website. So that's really the core of... I think I've managed to take down the other 42 websites, but you Google me, you might find some others. But pretty much that is all I'm doing at the moment. I'm systematically dismantling everything else I've done. And this is my work for now. This is my work.
The one I can't quite get my head around, based on some of the stories I've heard you tell, is the cooking blog. That's an interesting stretch.
I don't even know
stretch.
If that's in existence, but that was very funny. That was very funny.
And are you interested in expanding your guilty pleasure? If there are any three principles folks listening to this who might want to explore business mentorship?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they can just again reach me through the same website. And I can show them what it is that I do and explain more about that. That's fine as well. Yeah. So I might have a little more room for my guilty pleasure.
What is it? This isn't the question I was going to ask, but the question is, it's popped up. What is it that you're curious about seeing these days? If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does completely. So I'm really curious around two areas. One is workaholism. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm curious to see what I see new about that. And the second one is around friendship, actually. So I'm kind of just curious about those two areas. I'm not sure what yet, but like that's the direction I'm looking to see more about.
Wonderful.
I don't even know what, but yeah, just to see what I see about them.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. And for folks in general who may be wanting to explore, find out what the heck are these three principles, or who maybe have some insight to them but are wondering how to or what they can offer you for living your own life, on November 9th, I have a new 12-week iteration of The Art of Living beginning. And I'll post that link under this replay, and you're welcome to check that out.
Some of my clients have actually done that, Molly, and they have got very nice things to say about it.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Yeah. And also check out the Little Peace of Mind podcast on iTunes. It is fabulous and funny. I can always do with a laugh.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to say to wrap up, Nicola?
Not really. I mean, it's been really nice to meet you. And I can't believe you said we hadn't met before, because it does feel like we're old friends anyway. That's so funny.
I know.
I'm really looking forward to actually going back and checking out some of your other wholeness hangouts that you've done, especially the one with Mary that you were talking about. And I think that the reason you reached out to me after that webinar, and the reason a few people did actually, is because this is why I fall in love with the form of other people's things, right? It's like when we see someone who's totally on their game, right? Totally in flow, totally, it's just effortless and it's all coming so easily. There's something really inspiring about that. But as I said on that webinar that I did with Aaron and you guys, it's like I would always fall in love with the form of that and look at like, what are they doing? How are they doing it? And I get totally distracted by that, which is why I wanted to be a photographer, a yoga teacher, a cake baker, because I saw people who were amazing at that. And or like Aaron or Michael Neal, right? So even being amazing at coaching and fall in love with the art of it and just like the form of it. Like I want to be able to do that. And instead I think, like if you see that in me when I'm talking about my business and my clients, it's really like what I really appreciate is where that energy comes from.
Yes.
Because we all have access to that. And that's what I saw. I don't have to be a photographer because that person's an amazing photographer or an amazing cake baker or an amazing parent or an amazing anything else. It's like I have the same source of where that comes from as everybody else. And it's going to flow through me in its own particular form. And the more I embrace that, and keep looking back to where it comes from, you know, the better life seems to go for me. So that's kind of what I've my big learning from the last 3 years of falling in love with other people's form and trying to replicate it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's a perfect summary. And that's exactly what I got from your webinar that I hoped we could point people to today. So
there you go.
Thank you everyone for being here. Nick, I hope we get a chance to meet in person and until then that we get to hang out virtually a lot. I really appreciate you.
Okay,
thanks
guys.
All.
Nice to meet you all. Thanks, Molly.
Bye.
Bye.